Now to Pakistan. Authorities are targeting an Islamic charity connected to the militant group believed to have carried out the attacks in Mumbai. The Indian government says the 10 suspected attackers came from Pakistan. The U.S. and the UN have been pressuring Pakistan to crack down on militants. As NPR's Jackie Northam reports, the Pakistani government has taken some steps to satisfy those demands.
The Mumbai attacks, while a horrific shock for India, have also had a profound impact in Pakistan. The country's new and weak civilian government is being pushed hard by India and the U.S. to round up militants believed to be behind the attacks and close down their camps. Shuja Nawaz is the author of the book Cross Swords, Pakistan, Its Army, and the War Within. Nawaz says the country needs to rein in its militant groups, something governments here in Pakistan have tried to do without success. Nawaz says India needs to look inwards as well, and that Pakistan is wrongly bearing the brunt of the blame for the Mumbai attacks.
It's being made to be made responsible for taking actions, and I think actions by Pakistan alone are not going to solve this problem. It still remains an Indian problem, too.
Nonetheless, Pakistan has responded to India and U.S. pressure to take action. Earlier this week, the army raided compounds belonging to the militant group Lashkar-e-Taiba. They arrested more than 20 suspected members, including two of the group's senior leaders. Then security forces went after Jama'ad-Dawa, the Islamic charity which the U.S. says is merely a front for Lashkar-e-Taiba. On Wednesday, the UN Security Council designated the charity a terror organization. Pakistan closed several offices of Jama'ad-Dawa and froze its assets. Its virulently anti-India leader, Hafiz Mohammad Saeed, denounced the raids during a press conference from the charity's headquarters in Lahore.
If there is any evidence against Jama'ad-Dawa, either from India or the USA, we are ready to face any court.
Shortly after his news conference, Saeed was put under house arrest for at least 3 months. No charges have been leveled against him. There's concern both in New Delhi and Washington that Pakistan might follow a familiar pattern, hold suspected militants for several months, and then quietly let them go. For its part, the Pakistani government says it's still waiting for proof, any information from India, to back up its allegations. Masood Sharif Khatak, the former chief of the Intelligence Bureau, says unsubstantiated accusations puts a strain on Pakistan.
Just saying that so-and-so is involved is not good enough when it comes to matters of state. If you have anything solid, they should have presented it.
Even though it was the UN, and not just India and the US, that wanted Jama'ad-Dawa closed down, Pakistan's government still runs the risk of a backlash by going after an Islamic charity that operates hundreds of schools and medical centers across the country. Author and analyst Saeed Hussain says the fragile Pakistani government can only do so much, so fast, to stamp out Islamist militant groups.
If you put Pakistan too much in the corner, then obviously it will be counterproductive, and any destabilization of Pakistan will unravel the whole area. The international community should understand that if a Pakistani state collapses, then who is going to benefit from that? Obviously the extremists.
Hussain says the Security Council's decision gives the Pakistani government the political cover it needs to close the charity's offices and arrest suspected militants. But Pakistan is firm that it will not hand over any suspects to India. Author Shuja Nawaz says that could be the tipping point for Pakistan.
The one thing in any India-Pakistan exchange is the optics. You have to not be seen as capitulating.
Still, the pressure on Pakistan is increasing. In the past few days, India has doubled the number of suspects it wants arrested, and it's increased its rhetoric, calling Pakistan the epicenter of terrorism. Jackie Northam, NPR News, Islamabad.